Welcome to Subtle Beast, everybody. This is your host, Foltz, sitting here with my co-host, Mr. Steve Apostolopoulos. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for the introduction.
Absolutely. Here we are in the studio.
Once again, and I'm so happy to be here.
Yes. So if anybody had listened to my solo podcast from last week, there was a little debate on... you know, where was Steve? No one quite knew. I didn't know. Listeners didn't know. I even got some texts. Is Steve all right? I said, yes, he's fine. And basically what it came down to was either miscommunication or lack thereof, I guess. So it was both of our faults. Yeah.
I mean, it was miscommunication.
Yeah. So, I mean, yes, we usually do record on the same day and time. And I think we both were just thinking, well, we'll be talking about it, and then we'll know when we head off to the studio.
Right.
And I guess we were both either waiting on a text and didn't get one, but...
didn't know which day or...
yeah.
Something weird.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, your podcast was fantastic.
Thank you, my
friend. Your solo podcast, well, I was listening to it, and I thought, well, first of all, when I was listening to it, I was like, I think Foltz is carrying the podcast because you can do it without me.
No, you don't
need me here.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I appreciate the kind words, and I had a lot of fun doing it, but it is not something that I want to do on a regular basis. You were definitely missed.
And there was parts of it where I was like, I want to talk to him while he's like, I was listening to it, and I was like, I would interject right there.
Well, and there was tons of times when I was saying something and I was like, I'm ready to pass this baton.
And I would have taken it.
Oh, I know you would have. And it was just one of those things where it had to be done. Something had to be put out. It was funny because I got a bunch of messages that week because we hadn't recorded the previous week due to me being sick.
Due to illness.
Yeah. And then the next week came along, and it was just a miscommunication on what time we're going to the studio or what have you. And then we didn't put out another one. And I got a handful of messages on social media and a handful of texts that basically were saying, where are you guys? I need a new episode. And I was like, I'm going to put something out. I had to put something out because my anxiety level was so high. I was like, I'm just going to put out a show, and I know Steve will be back next week, and we got no worries, and here we are, so we're good to go.
And I really enjoyed the show. I enjoyed listening to you, but it also led to this excitement that I'm feeling right now. I feel like I haven't been in the studio with you for so long, so I'm truly happy to be here.
I am very, very happy that you're back. It is definitely a lighter feeling here in the studio, having you here, and we're just at the beginning of the show, and I'm already having more fun in the first few minutes of this show than I think I did doing the entire show.
After hearing the show that you put out, it begs the question of, could I put out a show at that level? And I don't think that I could do it. I was very impressed with your show.
Ladies and gentlemen, please let us know. Do you want to hear Steve put out his solo show?
And oh, that was not my intent.
Well, if you want it, let us know. We might not do it, but
oh, yeah, that would take so much homework. I really, it would be tough for me to do.
Subtle Beast is going to be between Foltz and Steve from here on out.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. I love doing it so much. I think it shines through in the shows.
Absolutely. I'm having the time of my life, and this is just, we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. So let's see. Well, yeah, since it's been a couple weeks, of course, on the last podcast I covered, I got sick and this and that, but wow. I know I was talking about on the last podcast the craziness and the weather, but this week, too, has just been crazy. 2 days ago, the weather was 56 degrees. This morning, we wake up to a bunch of snow and the schools closed.
It was just warm last night.
Yeah, I was walking around without a jacket on when I was walking the dog.
And I wake up this morning to, and there was more snow up where I live than there was down here. There was 5 inches. We have a deck with a railing around it. And I looked out of the railing and there's 5 inches on the railing. And I thought, man, there's a lot of things that I need to do. I have my wife's car. I have my car. We have an ordinance that says you need to shovel your sidewalks in the first 24 hours. And I knew I was going to be here tonight. So I had to get out before work and shovel the sidewalks. And that was a lot of things to do that I'm not used to doing before I leave for work.
That's those are some strict ordinance.
It was, yeah. We got a letter last year, too.
Shovel your walkway.
Right. We skipped a snowfall. I went to work and didn't do it before work. And then got home and it was late. I went to bed and then the 24 hours had passed and there's a letter in the mail.
Wow, they are on it.
They are on it. The president lives two doors down, so yeah, no offense to the town. They want to keep it nice there and they want everybody to be able to walk around, so everybody's got to do their sidewalks.
Right. Yeah, I don't know how much snow we got down here. It was obviously enough to close the schools. I believe last week we had, I guess it was just icy, and then there was a 2-hour delay. But today, I woke up at 5 this morning and immediately checked my phone to see if I needed to continue to stay up. And I saw the message from the school. Schools were closed. I sent a text out to my kids, and it was just, if you wake up and you see this text, school's closed.
That's what happens when you have 4 kids. You got to send texts out so that everybody gets the message.
Yeah, I didn't even want to leave my bedroom. I was just like, here's your text. School's closed. Hopefully you see it. I got back into bed. I saw my wife sit up, and I was like, school's closed. She was like, it is? I was like, yep. Both of our heads back on the pillow.
Right back down.
Yep. And my wife worked from home today, so we all just stayed in. And
a classic snow day.
It was. I didn't even have to leave my house today. One of the perks of having teenage boys, get out there and shovel that driveway and walkway, boy.
And walk the dog.
Yeah, and walk the dog. Oh, I didn't have to do that at all today. I just sat around, relaxed, and just enjoyed myself and enjoyed the day off.
I think that's what happened at my house, too. Jax usually goes to daycare on Thursdays, and halfway through the day, I sent a text to my wife, and she said, Jax is here. He didn't go, so he got called off, too.
I bet he liked that, being able to stay home. And
yep, he got to hang out with Graham. He got to hang out with Mommy.
Nice.
And I'm sure he had a great day, great snow day.
Yeah, I know. My kids had a lot of fun. My boys, in between shoveling and walking the dog, they pretty much stayed recluse playing video games. My one son has an Xbox in his bedroom. He was up there. And then we have an Xbox downstairs. My son was down there. And they're just being typical teenage boys, keeping to themselves. With my daughters, they had the right idea. They went out into the shed, got the sleds out, and we got some pretty nice hills on the side of our houses, and they were just going for it. And it was so cold. I don't know how they were doing it. I guess we were the same way as kids.
Oh, I remember being out sledding at the church hill and going to the point of like complete numbness, barely able to get home.
Oh, that's how they were. They came in the house and I was cooking something at the stove and I was just in my socks and I turned around and my socks were soaked. I looked down and there was just like snow and there was some mud and a couple sticks. And I looked at my daughter and I said, what happened? Oh, I guess that just came off of my pants. And then I looked at them and they were soaking wet. I was like, go down to the laundry room and take that stuff off. But not even phased, because an hour went by. They were dressed back in dry clothes and right back at it again.
Was this a snow that was packable? Because
yes, this would, if there would have been a snowball fight, this was the snow that you wanted to have.
I did not see a picture of the snowman, and I know that Jackson has been on a snowman hunt. He's wanted to do a snowman so bad, so I'm excited to get home and see if there was a snowman built and get some pictures of the snowman.
The only way that I know that it was packable snow was I had my sons clean off my truck. I did have to make a quick run down to the grocery store today, and it was a fair job done on my truck. And
it's never that great.
No,
think about washing the car when I was a kid. We never did a great job.
No, it was fair at best. And I went to put my window down, and all the snow fell in, and I was grabbing off the floor of my truck, and I was just like, for a second, I was mad, and then I was like, ooh, packing snow.
I can make a snowball.
I was like, if these neighborhood kids want some, we can come out and bring it because this is some good snowball stuff.
It'd be like Elf where he makes the snowballs and then does the arm thing real fast and shoots them all out.
He's getting away. Snowball.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the snow when we get back up home, and I'm sure that they made a snowman. Jackson actually asked his grandpa yesterday about a snowman because they said there was a storm coming, and grandpa was up fixing the door, and he just kept saying, snowman, snowman.
Right. So if you guys got 5 inches up where you are, I don't know, we must have got like 2, maybe.
I think it was in the 2 to 3 range, and I think the down in New York, it was a little bit less. It was kind of like a slushy 2, but it was so warm that I couldn't see. When I was done with yesterday, and it was still in the 50s, I couldn't see how snow was going to land on the surface that has been warm for weeks and stick. And yet, today when I woke up, there was a ton of snow everywhere.
And I think I looked out the window like around 3 a.m., and I think it had just started right around then.
Yeah, I think my wife woke up, and at 3 a.m. she said to me, it's snowing. And I don't even think I was... Yeah, just was just like, I don't want to know that.
Yeah, so from within 2 hours, it was bad enough that they canceled school, so... It is what it is.
It doesn't take much anymore for them to cancel.
It really doesn't. And, you know, to be completely honest, if this is the last snow we get for the year, I'm fine. I'm not a snow guy. I want the beach. So, I don't know. We still got the rest of the month of February and then March. So
I'm an allergy guy. So, in the springtime, if we don't get a bunch of cold weather in a row, like a week of single digits, then whatever it is that messes my allergies up still is alive from last year.
Right.
And the allergies are much worse if we don't get that. So as much as I don't want it, I would like to have a week or 2 week period where it was down in the single digits and real cold to kill everything off so that we can kind of start anew with our spring.
So you don't got a stockpile on the Claritin D or anything like that?
I was looking through the Red Plume over the weekend, and Flonase, they have coupons in there for everything.
They're getting ready. They're like, it's been a really warm winter, everybody. Flonase.
I'm not a saver either, but I was looking at those coupons, and I was like, I'm going to have to cut those out because I'm going to be miserable here in another 2 months.
Right. I'm not a chronic allergy guy. But I do get about, I do deal with it a little bit in the summertime. Like, I can feel like maybe like once a week I'll wake up and I'll have like a real throbbing headache, and I'll go online and I'll be like, that's why pollen is really high today. So I always have a box of Claritin sitting around just in case. But yeah, it's not chronic, and I'm thankful for that.
I get it to the point where I have to get a shot from my primary care physician, and they say you can grow out of it, so that kind of gives me hope. It makes me feel a little bit better. I didn't have it as a very young man, and then in my 20s it became much more amplified, and I've suffered through it in my 30s, so hopefully as time goes on I can grow out of these allergies.
I didn't have it, you know, as a kid growing up, or even in my 20s, I think, in even the small bouts that I get it in, I think it started in like my later 30s. And I know my dad always had it bad, and he always referred to it as hay fever. You know, all my hay fever's acting up. His eyes were watering, his throat was scratchy, and he always had to take something. But I guess we're getting to that point in our lives where if it's going to go wrong... going to go wrong. But
I get it mostly in my eyes, the redness in my eyes and the eyes. That's the part that just drives me nuts.
No headache eyes. No headache to go with it or anything.
At the end of the day, I'll get a headache just from being like, you know, it's caked on the pollen. You walk out in the parking lot, your car is green.
Oh yeah, I can always see it on the windshield of my car. Yeah,
that's the worst around here.
The one good thing I think that can come from allergies, if it, like you said, if it's at the end of the day or if it's in the early evening, pop a couple Benadryl. See you tomorrow.
Yeah, except for in the morning, you can't do that, or you'd be walking through your day like a zombie.
No, because even if you go for the ones that say non-drowsy, That's not true.
Oh, allergy medication has the worst side effects in the world.
Right. That's why I go with the Claritin D, because that actually has some like pseudo something that it's almost like a stimulant in it. So that actually, you know, helps you keep going.
Right. And for whatever reason, my body just can't handle that. So I take it and it just drives me nuts. I can't take it.
Right. Well, since we're discussing the first snow of the year, one of the things that I do enjoy about the snow is other than the kids having a good time building a snowman or playing out in the snow or going sledding, is I like to stay in, sit on the couch, and maybe put on some Netflix or something, or some shows that you recorded the night before, and just sit around and catch up on some good TV.
Yeah, Netflix and chill.
Yeah, so I know we've been talking about this, briefly in text and on the phone, but one of the shows that I've been really enjoying lately is the show Hunted.
Oh, man, how awesome is that?
That show is so incredible. It's one of those shows almost like Survivor, where I'm watching it and I'm thinking, I want to do this.
It's a show that, in concept, and we talk about the concept of the show a lot, but the concept of the show we've talked about for years already.
Right, exactly. Okay, here's the situation. What do you do?
Remember when we bought the book, the backpacks?
Right, exactly, yeah. So there's these shows that come around to the farm show complex, and they're usually like a gun and knife show, and we like to go and see like all the different vendors that are there, because there's a lot more there than just guns and knives. And me and Steve have come to the conclusion that we're addicted to buying backpacks.
Everybody's got their thing.
They do, and I've lost count at the amount. I just, for some reason, I don't know, I just like having these backpacks when I'm just, I could use this. I got stuff that I can put in this and I'll be ready to go.
I packed a backpack last night for this show to come to the studio.
Well, there you go. So no one can ever say that we're wasting our money buying these backpacks. And at these shows, you can find some real quality backpacks for a really good price. We're talking about like tactical and maybe even some military backpacks for, what did we pay? Maybe $25, $30?
Yeah, they were not huge monetary, but the actual backpack was really good.
Right, exactly. So on this show, everybody has a backpack.
Right, that's like their number one, that's their survival lies in their backpack.
Right. So if you haven't seen this show, basically what it is, I think they have 9 different teams. Does that sound right to you? 9 different teams?
I think it's 16 total members, and then they break them into teams of 2, maybe 8 teams.
Okay.
And they're not just boy and girl. You know, it could be boy and boy, girl and girl, right. Boy and girl.
Husband, wife, yeah.
Right. Friends, just teams.
So apparently, I guess these people all put in to audition for the show, and they were contacted at some point that they have made it. And they were told around this certain point on this day, someone's going to come contact you and basically say, you're on the run.
And they don't even know, because the one team is on vacation.
Right.
So they don't even know, like, it's got to be like, hey, listen, in the future, someone's going to come to you and tell you you've got an hour to be on the run.
Right. But some of them must have known. But I mean, I'm just going to throw this out here before we get going. Spoiler alert, that one of the teams actually had written on a calendar, today's the day we go on the run.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, well, we'll get to that. But some of them must have known and some of them not, because like you said, the one group was on vacation, but the other one had written down, today we go on the run.
That's weird.
So maybe they said sometime during this day, I don't know. But anyways, so maybe they know, maybe they don't. It's the only problem with the show is we don't get a whole lot of information on the way things work or what all the rules are.
Right.
But you start to figure it out a little bit. It's the only confusing thing.
Well, if you think back to the beginning of Survivor, that first season, we didn't get a ton of rules on what was allowed on the island. If you remember Richard Hatch being naked, like,
right?
They didn't know, like, it was okay or not okay, and there's definitely a boundary that we, you know, there's things that it's just after 30 some seasons that the rules have become more crystal clear, and this is just the first season of Hunted.
That's true too. So I guess it, in a good way, they're leaving it open for the show to be able to evolve too, without having exactly. too many set rules.
Right.
So if you're out for a walk, like the one couple was, they were just they're really outdoorsy. They're out for a walk, and here comes this camera crew, and all you see is this guy's arm touches one of them and says, "You're on the run." So they have an hour head start ahead of real ex-FBI, CIA,
NSA,
you name it. If
what's the president? Secret Service.
Any group out there with three letters or law enforcement that is trained in tracking high-profile criminals, they're going to be tracking you down, and they give you an hour head start.
And that is, I mean, you sign up for the show because you want that chase, but the just 1 hour head start is not a lot of time.
No, it's not a whole lot of time, and you're not allowed to have any money with you. The show gives you a debit card. It's loaded with $500. You can use it five different times, because each time you can only take out $100, but every time you use it, obviously, they know exactly where you are, so you have to you got to hightail it out of there and hopes that they don't catch you on your way down the street.
I liked the people that hit the ATM first.
That was the smartest move. I was having a conversation with my brother because he watches the show too, and I said to him, the smartest move was the couple that said, before we even get going, let's get out $100, because obviously they know we're right in our hometown, but this isn't where we're going to stay. And I guess we should also say, too, there's a three-state limit. I believe it's Florida, right. Georgia, and South Carolina.
Right. You know what? I've got the rules right here. And the way that they have it written down is it's a 100,000 square mile hunt zone. So
okay.
The first rule is that fugitives must stay within 100,000 square mile hunt zone. This will be set in the southeast. Fugitives will be given a 1 hour head start before the hunters are alerted. Fugitives are provided limited funds, $500 and $100 bursts. Command center is given only a name, photo, and last known location. Fugitives that evade capture for 28 days win $250,000 per team, and capture requires physical contact between the hunters and the hunted.
Now, does it state in there anywhere that they have to capture both, or if they tag a team member, are they both out?
So then it follows with, that's all CBS gives us in their latest release, but those few items will only be the start of what we find out. This author says, I'd like to know what happens if the hunters catch one but not both teammates. So that hasn't been revealed yet in the show.
Okay. So as the show's gone on, I believe that last night was the fifth episode. So going in, the fourth episode, excuse me. So let me see here. I have some of the team names written down here. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There's 9 different teams. So there's 9 teams, and 5 teams have been busted so far.
And every one of those was watching them get busted is the best part.
Oh, it definitely is. But you're almost like, oh, man. Now, a lot of these teams that got busted, they had a good run, and it was just like a small slip up. Now, there was this team comprised of a husband and wife. I believe their names were Matt and Christina. These two, they were self-admitted mommy and daddy's special little...
They're like models.
Yeah, I mean, basically born with a silver spoon is what they made it sound like that. Because the girl even made a comment, we talk to our parents at least once a day, and he was like, oh, definitely, at least. When they did their first interview, I knew these two weren't gonna last at all.
Well, physically, they were like 6'7" or something.
Yeah, the guy was about as tall as an NBA player.
So he stands out in any crowd.
Right. And his wife, I mean, she was probably average height, but standing next to him, she looked completely short.
Right.
But these two, I don't know if they were just looking to have an adventure. I mean, they really didn't have a solid plan. And if they had a plan, it wasn't a really good one. And
they were fly by the seat of their pants kind of people.
Right. I mean, their whole way to try and elude was they had these Halloween wigs that they put on. There were these black wigs that looked as fake as anything you could possibly imagine. One was short hair, one was long hair. The girl, she had long hair. She put on the short hair wig.
And the dude put on...
Yeah, he put on this long hair. I mean, it reminded me of, like, I don't know, like Lurch. And he just looked absolutely ridiculous. So they go into a train station to try and make a run for it via train. And Steve, I'll let you take this.
Well, they use the ATM right in the station. I think they buy a ticket. And it would have been great if they would have done that and not gotten on. I think it was a bus or something.
Right.
But they do. They give away their location. They get on the bus and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So this train station obviously has cameras everywhere. So like Steve said, they use the ATM. So bang, all these agencies know exactly where they are.
Timestamp, just right there.
Timestamp, video of them using it. They know exactly where they are. Then they proceed to go up to the sales clerk, buy a ticket. So now this guy knows exactly where they're going. And instead of doing the smart thing of bail out of there, now getting a taxi, getting the car or whatever, and just flee from there, they get on the bus.
So they're sitting ducks.
They are. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. They are very optimistic that, okay, well, as soon as this bus docks, we're just going to make a run for it. And
they have no idea.
They have no idea.
So there's like a level of play, and they are at the very bottom of the level of play. And working the way up, there's other teams that have a much better game plan and much better skill set to survive on the lam.
If they were to break it down and say that the best team on this show was NFL, I'm sorry to say, Matt and Christina, you're peewee football as far as your preparation and thought process. Because they're sitting on the bus, still with their wigs on, looking ridiculous, saying as soon as the bus pulls into the port, we're going to make a run for it. And the FBI, CIA, NSA, everyone is just waiting there. They have the whole station surrounded. Now, granted, they get off the bus. They don't really know that anyone's around, and they start hightailing it, and I think they made it half a block, and they were busted.
They were boxed in, and the guys that boxed them in were huge.
Oh, yeah. They just basically grabbed and said, your time on the run is over, and they weren't even going to try and go anywhere. And then once you're busted, you have to go with them. I don't know where they take you or what they do, but
yeah, it looks cool. I mean, they put them in a black SUV and haul them off somewhere.
Right. So, yeah, so we have those guys, and there are four other teams that did get busted.
That one takes place in episode one. So in the very, you know, first episode, they're laying the premise, and they give you a great example of what not to do.
Right. So I don't know are we going to go through and say how all the other teams got busted or?
Well, I mean, the team that I like the best is, let me get the guy's name right.
David and Emily?
Yes, David and Emily.
Okay. Me too. They are by far my favorite, and they are the slickest.
David is a lawyer.
Right.
And he was an ex-gang member, and you could see that this guy's got street smarts. He's got a skill set that will help him evade the law and capture.
Yeah, he basically gave you his background story. I believe he grew up in Florida in the Miami area, and he was saying that every day coming home from school, he was getting jumped and in fights. So in order to have some type of protection, he joined a gang. So if you have any information about the type of lifestyle that gangbangers lead, it can be pretty rough. So he's done it all. I mean, he even said that there was times where he was running and hiding from police helicopters and things of that nature.
Right. So he's got a pretty extensive skill set, and he gets out into the wild, and he's just one step ahead. Wait, is that the...
Those are the ones that went straight for the ATM.
And is that the one that had the calendar?
Yes.
Yeah, those guys, that was one could be, possibly be a fatal flaw in their game.
Right, but that wasn't his, that wasn't his doing, that was his wife.
Right.
And I'm not even so sure that he's aware of the fact that she did. I mean, they have the calendar page with them, but I don't think that he...
So his wife writes down a bunch of addresses and kind of a game plan of where they're going to stay, how they're going to get from one place to another, what the contact's name is. She doesn't write down the relation, but a lot of the contacts are from law school, people that he's known since 2010, so for the last 6 years. And then they rip the calendar page off, and they take it either with them or destroy it. But what the hunters do is the old spy trick. They take a pencil and they lightly rub it across so that the pressure shows exactly what was written on that calendar page.
And it was almost an afterthought, because they had been going through their entire house, looking through the trash, taking pictures of their dinner, this, that, and the other thing. And they were getting really close to leaving the house. And one of the special ops guys said, "Hold on a second," sat down. Like Steve said, lightly took a pencil and started, and they just had their whole game plan. As a matter of fact, they had right down to the neighborhood of where they were hiding during the first few days. They didn't know which house, but they knew what neighborhood, and they were waiting right outside for them to make a move.
And they could see them. They were looking out the window, and they watched the black SUV go in front of the house multiple times, so they knew the hunters were right outside.
Right, because the guy that they were staying with, too, he was also taking some trips out in his car and saying, "Look, there's at least one black SUV that keeps making loops around the neighborhood, so they're out here." And then he came home the one night and said he's sitting at basically, or the team of hunters is sitting at the entrance to the neighborhood just waiting.
So they knew they were closing in, and they knew their time was short. So they devised a plan, which they traveled at night. And I think a lot of these other teams that are traveling just at high noon.
Right.
If you're on the run, travel at night.
Right. Now, the only thing that I see different there was the fact that, see, these guys had a good plan. Their friend got in a car to drive them out of the neighborhood, and they got into the trunk of the car.
Good.
So, now, the one mistake they did make was the guy driving the car was driving a little too fast. The hunters did take notice to, well, here's in the middle of the night, a car leaving the neighborhood. It's driving a little fast. Let's take a close look at it. So they got their binoculars out and everything. So I guess that they did see that there was just one guy in the car, but the on-the-run couple was in the trunk. Now, my only thing was, had they done that during the day, I think that might have been a better move, because they would claim the guy could have just driven regular speed. They could have just seen in broad daylight, well, there's only one person in the car. So, but they left you hanging at the end of that episode to the next week whether they were going to get busted, because they left the hunter team saying, "Look at that car. That looks suspicious." And
right.
They cut off. However, the hunter team then reported back, I guess it's just one guy in a car. It's not them. So they get out and they elude the hunters.
By the skin of their teeth.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if they really wanted to, they probably could have followed that car and it would have been all over for them. But these guys just are having a savage run at it. And if anybody is going to win this, I think my money's going to be on them.
Just because of the skills that the male has.
Right. Now, there are some other teams doing some great things. There's this team called Arif and Ahmad. And
those guys are good.
They are good. I mean, they just to go use an ATM, they got into a canoe and they paddled, 25 miles or something upriver?
Are those guys the friends of friends?
These guys are
they were using Meadow.
Yes, where they went to the farm and did some work and things like that.
Right. So they had a distant contact, like a friend that they had not had any contact with for years, and they just made contact with that one person, and then that person used their friends to host them at a farm, which the hunters did end up going to the farm.
Right. And I mean, everybody thinks that they were doing the smart thing by shutting off their social media, closing it down. Well, these guys that are tracking you aren't your everyday fools. They get that stuff up and working again. They get into emails, and where they'll get to the point where it says put in your password, or and then you know you're like, oh, I forget what my password is. Okay, well, when was the last time that you used this password? And they go through like pictures, and they scroll through. Well, when was the first thing that was ever written on
there? They Googled the account and found out the first post.
That's right. So they got the month and the year, and they were able to answer that question. Then the next question was, what is his favorite sports team? And they're guessing back and forth because he was at a couple different sporting events, but then there was multiple ones with him.
The Miami Heat.
Yeah, Miami Heat jersey on. They try that. Bingo, they're in. They got tons of information.
And they just use it right against them.
Yeah, it's so mind-boggling and so exciting. You definitely got to check out this show. Well, I thought maybe it'd be fun a little bit since we gave you some stories about the show. So, Steve, if you were going to do this and you knew that you were going to be on the show, give me a little run through from the time that you had some guy come up to you and say you're on the run.
Well, first of all, I wouldn't use my own contacts. I wouldn't use my family. I wouldn't use my friends. The first thing I would do would be to get to a major intersection or a major interstate and find a ride. I would hitchhike. You know, I'd find some truckers, and I would put the most distance between myself and the hunters, my last known location. And I would just boogie on as far away as I could. And from that point, I would most likely survive off the land.
Right. Yeah. So I would probably do something very similar to that. Like the good players that we were talking about, David and Emily, if you know, I couldn't have money, I would immediately hit an ATM, and I would probably either run from that position and then try and get like a taxi or an Uber and definitely get out of the area. But one thing I would do in preparation for this show would be, I mean, I know I'm going to be on the show, so I would think that a couple weeks ahead of time, I would probably get some burner phones, you know, some like track phones or what have you. And right. I would have them in my backpack. Now, some of these people on the show, they do get burner phones, but they end up getting them tracked because they're either using them in large quantities, and then they're checking the people's contacts, and they're like, okay, well, this number, it doesn't have any affiliate with any of the large companies, and we don't see it popping up a lot. So then they're able to figure it out, and they're able to track these people. Now, if I had maybe 5 or 6 burner phones with me in my backpack, if I needed to absolutely make a phone call, I would use it, and for one phone call, then bust it up and throw it out. And because, I mean, yeah, granted, I mean, what they run like $10, but granted, even if you had bought like 10 of them for $100, you're winning $250,000 if you can stay on the run. Now, I'm just going to go a little bit further, because I think what I would do, I don't even think that I would use the ATM, to be completely honest with you. If someone came up to my house and grabbed my arm and said, you're on the run, I'd grab a bunch of belongings, throw them in my backpack with the burner phones that I bought. I would then jump onto my UTV, my all-terrain vehicle. I would leave my neighborhood, and I would head straight for the mountain. And like you said, I would just live off the land. I would just go off the grid, and I'd maybe have one of those, like, what are those straws called that filter out the water?
That's right. I got one of those.
Use one of those to drink creek water or whatever, and you know, just eat what I can. I mean, yeah, granted, you're going to be hungry, you're going to be miserable, but I don't know. I think I might even just dig a hole,
yeah,
and just go in there and just stay out of sight. I don't need, because there was a team that got busted because they were on the run for 14 days and they wanted to celebrate with Taco Bell.
Two and Tran.
They were all excited. Let's go get Taco Bell. Let's go celebrate this, that, and the other thing. Well, they got in their car. They were safe. They were camping in this undisclosed location. They had no idea where they were. They get back on the road. They're now using the cameras on the highway that identify and report back your license plate.
Yeah, those license plate finders are crazy.
They were busted within the hour. So
it's Two Tran and Centra Tran. So it was Two and Centra.
And they were completely...
They made it to day 14. They were in the woods. They were fine.
If they would have just stayed there, they would have won the game.
And the Shelly and was the her husband. They had a paintball...
Oh, yeah. Troy and Shelly.
Right. They had the paintball store, so they had a bunch of outdoor experience. They made it back into the swamp, and I was like 10 days in or something. They had like waterlogged feet, and they just... you know, called her brother or something, and as soon as they stuck their heads up, that's when they got chopped off.
Well, they were hiding out in either a friend or relative's house, and the hunters came there asking questions, and the guy basically said, well, I don't know, or the wife and the husband said, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Now, the hunters had a pretty good idea that they were inside, but these people had private property, and they weren't going to let them come on and search anything. Now, the people were inside the house. Had they just stayed there, they could have rid out the rest of the time and won the game. But they got paranoid. They made a run for it. When the hunters were leaving, they saw them, and they were busted.
It was a shakedown. They saw them with their own two eyes. They tried to run out the back door, and I guess that's what happens. This is a situation where I'm watching this from the couch. To be the one in the box is completely different. It's easy to sit on the couch and I can say what I would have done, but in that situation with the hunters right at the door and you know that your game is almost over because they are right there, you make that last-ditch effort, and what they didn't realize was that last-ditch effort is what got them busted.
Right, because, I mean, it's like sitting on your couch watching Jeopardy. Yeah, you know the answers because you got no pressure on you.
Right.
And but I would have to think, I mean, going into a show like this, you're going to have to get a control on your emotions. So yeah, you're going to be worried. Yeah, you're going to have anxiety. You just have to know that, okay, well, your friends, they just turn these people away. If you're going to make a run for it, don't do it in the broad daylight when they're right in the area.
Right. You have to be smarter than that. How about the guys that got busted on the boat?
Yeah, these guys had a great run. These guys, they basically left all of their cell phones and iPads at home, and they taunted the hunters, basically saying, we'll see in 28 days, this, that, and the other thing. Now, they had a good plan, which was, we're not going to make any phone calls to any known contacts. They were pretty social guys. So what they were going to do was rely on just talking to strangers, asking for rides, and asking for places to stay. And it worked for a little while.
Until the hunters turned that very premise back on them and used their social media to post a reward, which wasn't even a dollar figure. It just said a monetary reward. Could have been as little as, what, $10 or something.
Right, exactly. And there was no specifications or anything. So the people that they were staying with came across this, I think it was on Tinder or something like that, and they all had a conversation. Well, let's turn these guys in. We don't know anything about these guys. We don't know them. But they all said, you know, that'd be the shady thing to do. So they all agreed that they wouldn't. And so I guess these guys spent the night, and then the next day they were going to give them a ride somewhere. And then the people that they were staying with had this shady sister who called and said, they're here, or they were here
5 minutes ago.
Right. So the hunters descend on this area. And then they just pull out all kinds of tactics, drones, helicopters, you name it.
The guys stuck with their plan, and they went and met a new couple, you know, somebody that didn't have anything to do with them.
Yeah, an older couple.
Right, who said, we have a boat that you guys are welcome to stay on. And they got them out to the boat, but at that time, they had just boxed them in.
Right, so they had a helicopter in the air. And they knew these guys were right within this area because the people that gave them a ride there was with the same group that the sister turned them in. They knew the name now of the sister that was giving them a ride, so they started tracking her cell phone. So they knew that they were in that area. got in a helicopter, and then somebody in the organization had the idea to start checking the boats, and they spotted them from the helicopter, sent out another team on a boat that was way faster and was closing in, and the old man that was driving the boat, I said, I'm going to take you to shore. That's all I can do, and you got to run for it.
And they made it to a dock. They hopped off the boat. They put an effort into it, and it wasn't fair. It was like 100 yards off the shore.
Yep, and they grabbed him and said, your time on the run is over. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, the show's really exciting. I love the premise. I just have to think that if you're going to do this, you need to know really how to live off the land and be comfortable with just staying in one spot and not moving. You got to know going in, there's not going to be any luxuries. At best, if you have a slingshot, maybe you're going to eat a squirrel over a fire.
Right.
But I mean, like I said, the woods is where I would go, the mountains, and that would be it. I mean, granted, I might not just stay in one spot in the mountains, but I'm going to be undercover the whole time. Yes, I'm going to be miserable. Yes, I'm going to be wet. Yes, I'm going to be hungry. But the payoff is going to be amazing. I mean, I think we could do it.
Yeah, the human body can go for a long period of time without food. You can't go very long without water, so you have to have a water source, but you can go for a while without food.
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole idea is that, you know, the way they're tracking you is you're just making these stupid decisions. So you and your teammate just have to come up with and realize, okay, it's just going to be you and me. We're going to be the only ones we talk to. We got to be the only people that we see, because these guys are going to question anybody, and we got to lay low. So I think if you go into the mountains and you dig a hole, and maybe you have like a piece of board that you can pull over top of it that you've like taped or glued a bunch of leaves to, and that's where you are during the day. Maybe you can come out a little bit at night and start a fire and maybe try and eat something, berries, what have you. Other than that, that's going to be your month. And if you're not okay with that for winning $250,000, then I don't think that you're a good contestant for this game.
Right. You see somebody that's been in the woods for 2 weeks that does expose themselves. The first people that they see that sees them is going to know those people have been out in the woods for 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, even just for one night, if you go camping in the mountains and you had a fire going all night, you come home and anybody in your house is going to be like, whoa,
yeah.
You look rough. I mean, you haven't really slept the greatest. I mean, we've done it in the wintertime.
Oh.
And it was rough. We had a tent and
hand warmers.
And hand warmers all over our bodies, and it was basically the worst night's sleep ever. Now, granted, what these people do have going for them is they filmed this down south, so they didn't have to worry about too much cold, except for one group who these people were on vacation when they got told that they're on the run. They have like three small children. They're told to go on the run. These people decide their tactic's going to be, let's go out on foot and try and get a ride. And then like a humongous storm comes in that I think the governor declares a state of emergency.
Right. It was like they were vacationing in one of the Carolinas, and it was
right outside Myrtle Beach.
And it was during hurricane season. And they show the Doppler or the radar, and it's just a huge, like, three-state-long hurricane coming up the coast. And that's the beginning of their experience.
Yeah, and it was funny because when I was watching this episode with my wife, the hunters are saying, okay, they're going to definitely seek out shelter. And I said to my wife, if this was me and my teammate, I would have taken full advantage of this storm. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a terrible night. But they're not going to think that you're out somewhere riding this storm out outside. Yeah, I might be in the woods shivering to death, but I'm going to hold out. Because the sun's going to come out at some point. But, I mean, they did hit a patch of luck where some guy, I think, took him to almost like a storage unit or something.
Right. They asked the guy to take him to the Y, and the hunters in Command Central were saying, we need to look at missions, we need to look at soup kitchens, we need to look at places that will offer shelter, and that is exactly what they were seeking. But when they spoke to the gentleman, he said, I've got a construction business across the street, and I can offer you a roof over your head, you can put your tent up in my storage unit, and that'll give you a place to stay for the night.
Yeah, and if these people have some water with them and even some snacks, I mean, this place is pretty beast. I mean, I think they could ride it out, if not a few days, for the whole game, as long as they play it smart. But I got a feeling that they're not going to be content with just staying in this.
Could you imagine winning the game three blocks from your house?
That would be amazing. I mean,
it would just be a testament of your ability to stay away from technology.
Absolutely, because that was, I mean, when I was describing how my game would be, I mean, to get to the mountain from my house is maybe a mile. I don't even think it's that long just to get into the mountains. I mean, I think I could pull the game off just being within, like you said, 2-3 miles from my house.
Right. And I think it's not when I said I would put the most distance between myself and the hunters, it may not be a distance game.
Right.
It may be more of a technology game.
Yeah, because I think that's what they're thinking you're going to do, is you're going to try and put as much space between you and where you live, and not necessarily be the game. It's going to be interesting to see if anybody takes that tactic as these seasons continue. I was looking up to see what the ratings are for the show, and it's doing well. I have a good feeling that it's going to get picked up for another season, so I'm really looking forward to it.
I read an article that had 100 shows, whether they were going to be picked up for the next season or dropped, and if this show doesn't get picked up for a second season, and some of these crap shows that I saw did, I'm going to be upset.
Absolutely, because it happens to me all the time. I get into a show and it gets dropped, and I'm just like, oh, what are you doing? It happened to a show that me and my wife like to watch, and the show got dropped, and then thankfully it got picked up by another channel who believed in it, and yeah, we can continue on. But yeah, I definitely want to see this on, because this show has a good future, because this game can really evolve, and I'm hoping that at least one team out of this season makes it. But as good as these hunters are, I don't know either.
The hunters are fantastic, and it seems like the rules may be a little bit stacked against the hunted and a little bit more in the favor of the hunters. So it'll be cool to see how the game evolves.
It definitely will. So you know, we gave you a little, if you haven't seen the show, we gave you a little synopsis of how it is. We've given you a little idea of maybe how we would play the game. I think it would be cool if we put out on our Facebook page a link to this show, and possibly if you like this idea and you have a better idea of what you would do, why don't you go out to Facebook after listening to this episode in the space that we provide and let us know what you would do. What would your tactic be to evade these solid professionals?
Right. It's something that I know I've talked about with a lot of my friends, and you know, the concept of what would we do if we were on the run, it's endless. So I'm interested in hearing what the viewers have to say.
Yeah, it's the ultimate adult hide and seek. And I'll be interested to hear what other people's tactics would be. So so definitely go out to our Facebook page. Let us know how you would handle it. If you're really enjoying our podcast, please share it with our friends. We can be found on iTunes. We can be found on podbean.com. And let's keep this conversation open, because we got a lot of great things in store for the future. We got a lot of great podcasts coming up. So hope you're enjoying it. I hope you're enjoying listening to it as much as we are making them for you.
Yes. Thanks everyone for listening.
Thank you guys. Have a good day and take care of each other. Bye-bye.
See ya.